your all on the altar is the text, is the title from the text in Leviticus chapter 1. Three thoughts: a whole unblemished sacrifice, an acceptable sacrifice, a blood sacrifice unto death. These are the three thoughts. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 verses 1 to 5 says this to the church: be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. The believer gain access to the kingdom of God through the sacrifice of Christ as an offering for sin on his behalf, as the only acceptable sacrifice to God. This access to heaven, wherein is no sin, requires the believer to be thankful that he is being delivered from the woes of sin and to live a life of holiness fitting of the calling that God had accorded him through Christ. The Lord wants us to give him a life that is fitting for the sacrifice that has been laid to enable us to live this precious new spiritual life that Christ has given himself to grant us that access. And the wholehearted giving of our life to God in thanksgiving by a life of a holiness is a sweet-smelling sacrifice acceptable to God. Well, God says that we are to love him by loving his commandments. Every aspect of his law, when we love it, when we obey it, it is the sweetest sacrifice to God. When we follow him in a wholehearted manner, our life is like a sweet savour. That means there is a fragrance that is oozing out of our being, that influences, that has imparts life to the people around us. There is a right way to live in which God wants us to know. Not our own way, not any old how, but God's way according to his acceptable sacrifice, according to his acceptable law. He teaches us, and the burnt offering is a very good picture of our life with God. The burnt offering was consumed upon the altar as a sweet savour. The whole of the sacrifice is given over. Everything is, nothing is held back. Everything is dumped in, you know, as it were. If you think about life, our life with God, the only way in which we are going to experience the fullness of life through heaven on earth is when we give our all to God. The entire being of ourselves, we give it over and we sacrifice it at the altar before the Lord. And the Lord, by this gesture of the burnt offering, is laying for us the foundation of such a life. The life of holiness before God on earth is rooted in this Levitical system of worship that Moses instituted in Sinai. You see, before this, the people know about sacrifices. There are sacrifices that are offered to God. But this is the first time whereby the sacrifice is instituted such as it is to a whole nation that God has created. It is new. Before this, it is family sacrifice. Job sacrificed for his children. Noah gave the burnt sacrifice when his family came out of the ark after the flood. They gave a sacrifice of a burnt whole offering that is a sweet smelling savour to the Lord. After judgment, see, after God has judged, right, they offer themselves that, Lord, you have spared us, as it were. We are spared. We were in the ark. We were not in the waters. We were delivered from the wrath that came. And that sacrifice tells us about the substitute, you see. That there was something that was given on our behalf that enable us, you know, to live this life of, to bring back this or buy back this life for us. So here, as we think about the instituting of the laws of worship, the principles and foundation for practical Christian living, you'll find that in the book of Leviticus is laid the foundation. And Leviticus chapter 1 is described the highest kind of offering revealed in the Bible. The whole sacrifice. And the Lord wants us to see the glory of a whole sacrifice. Nothing withheld. Nothing withhold, everything given over. The Lord wants us to see the glory of it, because that sacrifice pointed to the ultimate sacrifice of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. He gave His Son, and the Son had to bear everything on the cross. Remember, during Good Friday, we spoke about that. How from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. the entire world was dark. Christ was hanging on the cross. It was not just the physical anguish that was upon Him. It was not just the mental anguish that was upon Him. But it was the anguish of the Father, as it were, turning Himself away from Him, allowing Him to go, you know, cold, as it were, you know, suffer fully the full wrath for sin. I think that part cannot be described. None of us can understand what Christ had to go through. And that picture of this picture of the burnt sacrifice, everything consumed, everything taken up, is a picture of that kind of a dedicated, wholehearted giving, wholehearted life that God wants His people to live. And the word to offer, you find, is used very often in this book of Leviticus. The word offer means to come near, to approach. How do you approach God? How do you draw near to God? God is holy. God is a consuming fire. But God is beauty. God is love. God is gracious. God is long-suffering. How do you draw near to Him? How do you experience and live out that kind of attribute of a holy God? This is what the book of Leviticus teaches us. How to draw near, how to offer to God, how to approach God. And you would see that we gave in the outline last week that it is by way of a sacrifice. There is a sacrifice involved. And that is the life of, that's the Christian life. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he is to deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. Deny himself, take up the cross. Not an easy thing. It involves sacrifice. That means something that you would have to give up, give away, give in. Wow. What a great picture of redemption that the Lord wants us to see. And this first thought, a whole unblemished sacrifice. A whole unblemished sacrifice. This is the word burnt sacrifice that is used there in our text in verse 3. The verb means that which ascends, or that word there, burnt sacrifice, literally means a whole burnt sacrifice. That means everything, all, every part of it. And the word comes from an underlying verb, which means that which ascends, that which is lifted up, that which is offered, that which is lifted up to God, that which ascends in worship to God, that which is given over to Him. So in the Bible dictionary, the BDB, it defined the whole burnt offering of the beasts or the fowl is entirely consumed and goes up in the flames of the altar to God, expressing the ascent of the soul in worship, that we draw ourselves to God by the sacrifice that ascends to God. Everything given over, everything put on the altar. You see, there is a power in the whole, in the giving of all. And the Lord tells us this is the Christian life. When we approach God, when we have this life with God, it's a wholehearted devotion. It's a wholehearted giving of ourselves. And this sacrifice that we see here, is that description. All of the victim is laid on the altar, except the hide and such parts as could not be washed clean. So all of it, everything that could be washed clean, everything was placed on the altar. Right? The bird, only for the bird, you know, with the feathers are taken out. Right? But those parts that can be washed, can be cleaned, all of it is placed on the altar. And in Genesis 8:20, we said, this is the first time the word olah is used, describing the whole burnt offering to God that Noah gave after the flood. Genesis 8:20 says, Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. That's the word there. You see, many years before, they already know this is the way by which to approach God. So the instituting of the Levitical system was not new, but it was a systematic way by which God would write down for posterity how he is to be approached. Right before that, Noah passed this information to his son, right, Enoch, and from one generation to another generation, is taught father to son, until it reaches Noah. Noah understood it. But here, that knowledge of the worship of the living God, God has deemed it fit that it ought to be preserved, it ought to be kept, it ought to be understood in a very wholesome way. And so God revealed it to Moses at Mount Sinai, and Moses is to write down all of it, all of the sacrifice. Moses is to write down all of the instruction that God gave in order that there will be a record for posterity how God is to be approached. And so you see, for Noah, it was the aftermath of the judgment of the flood. This way of access to God was by means of a sacrifice, and the wrath of God was appeased, and the favor of God was gained. In fact, it is not, as we said, the time of Noah that they offered the sacrifice, but in the beginning of human history, the Bible recorded for us in Genesis 4 verse 4, and Abel, right, the second son of Adam and Eve, also brought the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Whereas Cain, the elder brother's sacrifice, was not accepted by the Lord. God specifies the kind of sacrifice that is acceptable sacrifice to him. Genesis 4 verse 3. And in the process of time that Cain brought the fruit of the ground and offering unto the Lord. But unto Cain and to his offering, God had not respect. And Cain was very wrath. Right? We know what happened after that. The burnt offering that was given by Abel, God accepted. God received. And this provides us a record of how God is to be approached. And in your notes, we have also put it down after the fall of Adam and Eve. I give you the page of the notes. In page six, right at the top. When Adam and Eve first sinned, this was instituted the first sacrifice. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. It was the first time God himself offered that sacrifice to provide that coat of skin that would provide them with a cover. Right? And God clothed them. Right? God clothed them. So this way of sacrificing an animal by means of a blood sacrifice that Moses instituted was not new. This was God's way. All right. And it is showing us the way by which God has deemed that His people would approach Him. Okay, and so we see this, and then we go back to page three again. You will see that the offering are of three categories: the bullock, the sheep, and the goat or goat, the dove or the pigeon. Three types. The offerer will bring his offering to God according to what he could afford to give. The criteria is that it is to be unblemished, male, and a willing offering. God didn't say that if you are a poor person, you cannot approach Him. A pigeon, a dove, the poor man can approach. God nevertheless accepted. Not the bullock, not just the bullock. We said, a big animal, give the big sacrifice. No. The bird sacrifice of the pigeon and the dove is just as well accepted by the Lord. And you realize that, you know, the way in which we gain access to God does not depend on our social status. Does not depend on, you know, what we have in our pocket. But here it is given to us of how we can approach Him. That it has to be a willing offering, but it has to be a clean offering, an unblemished offering. Meaning that we bring something good to God, you know, something pure, something from your heart, something sincere, a whole unblemished offering. So the Lord is saying to us that we are to come to Him with a willing heart. The offerer is to come personally with his personal sacrifice. So you will bring your own sacrifice to offer to God that would ascend to God. This is a willing, voluntary sacrifice brought in sincerity from the heart of the offerer as he appears at the door of the tabernacle. And so this is our life with God, you know. A willing sacrifice. That means we are willing to serve God with a wholehearted devotion, giving our all, sincere, pure motive. Psalm 51, verse 16 and 17. Describe for us that kind of a heart of the offerer. Right. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou desirest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. So, what was the problem with the people of Israel throughout the ages? It was the heart. The problem was the heart. It is not the outward sacrifice. And the Lord is seeking for us to draw nigh to Him with the right attitude, with the right heart. Psalm 34 verse 18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So the Lord wants us to approach Him knowing our inadequacy, knowing our insufficiency, knowing our inability. Jesus described, Luke's gospel is described the two persons who approached God. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee, for I am not as other men are, extortionists, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week, I give tithes of all that I possess, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." You see God's way? So good, right? He that humbleth himself will be exalted. He that exalteth himself will be humbled, abased. So you see God's way, the way by which we are to approach God in a bringing of a sacrifice, requires us to come with the right spirit, a right heart. We need to prepare our heart. A right spirit. Right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Heaven. If we realize, if we think that, you know, we are already well arrived, we are in trouble. Isaiah says in Isaiah 57 verse 15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I will dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." You see how we should approach God? Right? So when Moses speaks about bringing the whole sacrifice, well, this is what he's speaking about. A whole unblemished sacrifice. To present ourselves wholly to God. An acceptable sacrifice. So what is an acceptable sacrifice? He shall put his hand, verse 4 says, upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement for him. The word atonement means to cover over, to pacify, to make propitiation. That is to win and to gain favor to God by doing something that pleases him. What is it that pleases God? To bring before him a right sacrifice. Correct heart. This is what the Lord is saying to us. An acceptable sacrifice. Right? And death is the result and penalty, right, of sin. Right? The soul that sinneth shall die. And the provision that God is giving to us is by that sacrifice. So the man who brings that sacrifice to God realizes that, you know, he deserves death. The worshipper is to place his hands upon the head of the sacrifice, symbolic of his identification of the animal, making that sacrifice on his behalf. As it were, his sins are transferred to the sacrifice. Right? The life of the sacrifice was transferred to him. You see, so there is a transaction that is going on here. Right? And C.H. Spurgeon, when he looked at this passage, he observed very well. He says, "The offerer, by laying his hand upon the victim's head, signified that he acknowledged the offering to be for himself. He that laid his hand upon the head of the offering made confession of sin." So when we come before God, when we bring our offering to God, when we, you know, we come with a realization that we are sinners, right? That we cannot approach a holy God, right? That this offering was given as a substitute for us. Right? So Spurgeon, he says, in this act there is also a confession of self-importance. the believer who brought the bullock did good, as good as to say, I cannot of myself keep the law of God or make atonement for my past breaches of the commandments, neither can I hope through future obedience to become acceptable to God. Therefore, I bring this sacrifice because I myself cannot become acceptable without it. You see, when a man brought his bullock or his goat or his lamb, he put his hand on it, he knew that the poor creature must die. And he thus acknowledged that he himself deserved death, that we deserve death. But that death was placed upon this animal. Right? The victim fell in the dust, he wrote, struggling, bleeding, dying. The offerer confessed that this was what he deserved. He owned that death from the Almighty hand that was due to him. And so when a man comes to that understanding, right, so he has to have the right heart. He has to know that, you know, really he's a sinner. And he has to come, right, confessing that he is a sinner. Right, that God's anger for sin, God's justice for sin was paid by that accursed, or by that sacrifice that was made accursed for him. Okay. And then, as we think about it, how then we are able to realize, right, that how we can make right with God. The laying of the hand upon the sacrifice mean not only acceptance but transference. He says the offerer had confessed his sin and accepted the victim then presented to be his sacrifice, and now he mentally realized that his guilt is by divine appointment to pass over from himself to the sacrifice. So we need to know, right, that when we confess our sins, when we come to Christ, when we accept the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross, this is what he has done. Our sins, our guilt, all of it is given over to the Lord, given over to him, transferred, right, so that, you know, you have true peace and joy. You know that Christ has sacrificed for you. Your sins are washed away, forgiven. You know, that you can enter heaven where there is no sin because it is transferred over, given over, you know. God wants us to understand, right, that this is the acceptable sacrifice, right? The acceptable sacrifice of the burnt offering. How the hand must be placed on the sacrifice, right? That we ourselves realize that this is the Christ. He is the one. There is no other one. Only Jesus, and always Jesus. No other one can make that sacrifice. This is a picture that is given to us. Then thirdly, a blood sacrifice unto death. And he will kill the bullock. You observe that he will kill the bullock before the Lord. So the offering is to be killed. There is to be a pouring out of the blood of the sacrifice to make an acceptable sacrifice for sin. Blood represents life, and the shedding of the blood stands for death. The offerer has to kill the bullock in the presence of the Lord and the priest, and bring the blood and sprinkle the blood around the altar. In other words, the sprinkling is a description of the cleansing. The book of Hebrews 9:22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. and verse 14 and 15 of Hebrews 9 says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience?" You see, it's not just the physical sacrifice, but what it does is that it purges your conscience. That means it's renewing you from the inside, you know, your conscience. From dead works to serve the living God. That means you have been revived, you know. Your guilt taken away. You are given the freedom. For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And so Hebrews 9:19-23 is described for us what is in the Levitical system. "For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the testament which he hath enjoined unto you.' Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with the blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified." So the blood was used to purify, to cleanse, right? So it says here, "It is necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with this," right? The blood of Christ, God Himself. "But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than this." So here the Lord says to us concerning this sacrifice, right, that it enables us, right, to have this new life. Right, Peter says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ." That means this, as what Christ did by his shedding of his blood, the dripping of his blood, was in the Spirit, the way by which the soul is to be sanctified, cleansed. Okay? And Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So not just dying, but receiving life after the death. So here, but it must come with first the death. So Spurgeon says, "It behoved Christ to suffer. He would only enter into the presence of God with his own blood. He could not be the grain of wheat which bringeth forth much fruit unless he should die." Wow, what a difficult doctrine for us to live up to, you know. The standard is so high. Right? Standard is so high. You have to give your all to God. Why is it like that? Because in eternity, we are going to reign with God. Reign with Christ. And that is the standard by which we will reign. By the attributes of God. No other way. That standard has to be maintained. A wholehearted sacrifice. Everything must be given over. Because God is, through Christ, is winning for us a kingdom, you know.
we are going to possess a kingdom, the kingdom of God. And we are going to be prince and princesses in the kingdom of God. And so here, as we think about the blood sacrifice unto death, we think, as we mentioned earlier, about how in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve sinned, the Lord Himself prepared a coat of skin by the slaying of an animal sacrifice to cover him. Okay. Romans 3:21-22. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. So Genesis 3:21 tells us that God initiated a way out for Adam and Eve. God reached out to the guilt-stricken, fear-filled, shame-plagued heart of our first parents to provide the solution. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skin and cloak them, a prefiguring of the work of Christ. And this has been God's way for men to have access to Him. And so the instituting of the Levitical system is to put forward the principle, the foundation by which we can understand the ultimate sacrifice that is to come, Christ. Right? The death of the sacrifice signifies both the evil of sin and the love of God. Right? Christ had to bear our sin, all the weight of evil upon Him. This is the grace. This is the grace of God, first manifested to men and recorded for our comfort from the Scriptures. Do we deserve God's favor? We are in a pitiful state of disobedience. How can man be restored to the state of true blessedness with God? Well, God, in compassion, provided the solution. The Chinese character knew this truth and recorded it vividly for us. The word righteousness, the Chinese word for righteousness, is that whole burnt sacrifice, the lamb that was over me, the lamb that covered me. And that's the meaning of the word atonement that we saw in verse 4. The covering that comes. The top radical of the lamb or the sheep, the bottom radical, I or me. The Lamb of God covers me, giving me this righteousness, prefiguring the coming of Christ who will take away the sins of the world. So today, you know, we don't need to go through the rigors of bringing your animal for worship. Right? You don't have to bring it to the priest. You don't have to kill the animal. But we have in Christ a more perfect sacrifice. And so our understanding is the revelation that God gives us is so much more. And we are also so much nearer to the consummation. We are so much nearer to the time when things are going to, you know, come to a head. Right? We are living in Satan's world. This kingdom of man is soon going to be given over to the kingdom of God. And every inch we are fighting tooth and nail. Every inch we are in that combat, in that spiritual battle. And for us to, and in order for us to be a good soldier, that it requires that we give a wholehearted sacrifice to God. Wholehearted, nothing held back, nothing withhold. All must be given in. You know, so when people ask you, you come and serve God, if it doesn't work, do you have a plan B? I said, no plan B. Only one plan. Serve the Lord. That's it. No plan B. May the Lord be merciful to help us. That is the way. And the resistance is great, but there is no other plan. We must press on. May God be merciful to help us. Let us pray. Father, we pray for your mercy. Grant us your grace to present ourselves a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto you, unto thee, which is our reasonable service. Help us, Lord, renew our mind that we may know what is your will, what is the work that you have brought before us in this generation. Lord, strengthen us by your grace to fulfill it. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.